Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock London time on Tuesday, December 14th. This is this week's What Comes Next Live. It's also 5 p.m. in Dublin, Ireland, where I'm joined by Siobhan Fitzpatrick of the Networking Hub. As it says what it does in the tin, Siobhan is an amazing connector, and I had the pleasure of being a guest on one of her events recently. And she's an all-round interesting person with a wide range of experience and a real passion for connecting people. This is also the last one of these until the middle of January, taking a break for a few weeks. So one of the things that comes next is the festive season, which we were just talking about offline before we started. Anyway, welcome Siobhan. And if you just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we can talk about whatever is on your mind.
Great. Thanks, Tom. And thank you for the pleasure of being here. I'm very excited about this. We have this planned for a long time since we met on Lunch Club. Lots of networking done. So, a little bit about myself. Where should I start? Siobhan Fitzpatrick, living in Ireland, just back from nearly 20 years in the UK, where I was working in London, and then before that in New York for 7 years, where, as Tom explained, I have had an interesting career path. I definitely haven't stuck on the one track. I have changed, pivoted careers 3-4 times now, and each one has been the right thing at the right time, and I've enjoyed every single one of them. And yeah, I've had an interesting time.
And tell us a bit about what you're doing now.
Yeah. I just realized that as I kind of gave my short history all those years into a short piece. So I'm founder and CEO of the Networking Hub, which is an online networking platform for global SMEs, helping them to be strategic and tactical and get a return on their investment in networking. The Networking Hub plays home to a membership portal for our members and guests. It also plays home to a training academy, because one of the things I realized in my time of networking myself, both in employment and out of employment, was people don't know how to network. It's not a skill or a tool that we're educated in doing. And lots of people find it easy and actually, you know, they're good at it, and others struggle with it and would rather actually pull their eyelashes out one by one and go to a networking event.
For the podcast audience, I'm putting my hand up.
So I make it my duty to help people in whatever guise they come to the table with, whether it is that they don't like networking or they'd like to be more active in it and get better return. And by return, I don't mean financial, just financial. I mean, you know, see progress, know what they're looking to do. So, I mean, it's basically helping people to network in a tin.
And what does the word networking mean to you?
Curiosity. Curiosity. Curiosity with the will to do something with what we learn with that piece. So being curious about others, have, you know good questions to ask, and be genuinely intrigued with somebody and what they're doing and what they've done and who they know. And listen for things where we can add value. I'm always using the mantra, you know, create value before taking it. And I mean, an example today, I was connected. You may have seen on the LinkedIn post, I've become a mentor for a program, a social enterprise program here in Ireland called The Big Idea. And it is to work with our TY students across the country to become more creative and innovative, and to be, you know, to provide that open space and to mentor them. There's hundreds of mentors, national and international, coming to lend a hand. And I was talking about this, and it's really important for me that we do start to help our TY students, because they're going to get out into.
Sorry, what's TY?
My apologies for our international audience. It is transition year. So in Ireland, between their mid secondary school cert, you know, the junior cert or whatever it's called, A-levels, I think, A-levels is you're leaving.
So what age are they at?
They're about 15.
Okay. Yeah, so that's internationally valid. So at 15, they have a transition between one phase of school and another.
No, actually, they take a year to go out into the workforce and experience work.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. So that's unusual internationally.
It might be. I don't have kids, so I can't reference, you know, how it would have been done in the States or the UK, because I wasn't following that pattern. But it's a really, it gives kids, I guess, an opportunity to experience environments, experience different work ethics, and, you know, some people might want to go work in the outdoors and realize maybe not, or work in an office and they realize maybe not. Now, there's another whole different phase on that, but part of the process here for this particular social enterprise is we have a very archaic educational system.
Okay.
It's a one size fits all, and not every human being learns the same way, nor do they. Yeah. So, I mean, you look at a lot of the entrepreneurs, I mean, the very successful entrepreneurs in the world, and you'll find that they're either dyslexic or that they left school before their leaving exam, and have done extremely well through trial and error, through their own learning in their pace, in their way. So it's just helping people become more creative and innovative. So anyway, the reason I want to bring this into the conversation, Tom, is, and I know that the title of this podcast is What Comes Next. And one of the events we have, which is part of the Networking Hub, is an event called the Networking Summit, which pre-COVID times was a live event once a year where we gathered business owners and professionals together, and along with experts in the realms of performance, professional development, personal brand, communications, networking, so on. And one of the things I thought to myself, this is all great that we're exposing our professionals to experts and they can learn and they can develop and we do masterclasses, yada, yada. What about the next generation? What about the kids that are coming up, and how can we help them be better at this? So it was something I wanted to engage with the Networking Summit, which I will when we go live again, fingers crossed, toes crossed, and every other digit you have, if you have them. The big idea is a great pathway for me to learn also from the students as to what's going on in their life, you know. And I'll probably be shocked for this, but a lot of what I see with the millennials and the upcoming generations are communication by phone, and conversation is actually more difficult by phone or face to face. They're short, they're sharp, but they're not in depth in the questioning and the kind of digging deeper than that surface level.
Well, there's some validity in that, academically. I want to come back to what you said at the beginning, but before I do, connecting the dots, another previous guest on the podcast, Kay Scorra, ran a conference in 2019 at a very seminal venue, where the Notting Hill Carnival was founded in the late 50s, early 60s. And it was called Turning the Tables. And I was in the audience, privileged to be there. And the idea was that experienced business people, executives, etc., would be in the audience, and young people would be on the stage presenting.
Yeah, I love it.
She had about 8 or 10 presenters across the day.
Yeah.
And she, for example, she volunteers a lot with the Teenage Cancer Trust. And so it was people who've had life challenges of different kinds and sharing their life lessons. She put a huge amount into this, and we'll do it again when we can all gather. And one of the things was mentoring and coaching and guiding them on their presentation. And the stories were amazing. So that's a potential, and always happy to connect alumni of the show. If you like the, But it's interesting, when I asked you what does networking mean to you, you immediately leapt out with the word curiosity and that giving sentiment. And I am one of the people who struggles with networking, certainly group networking, because it seems very surface level. I was on an event a while ago that was their idea of getting everybody to warm up before the actual event started was to have 30 people on one Zoom screen and just have them chat. And I went, that's like throwing 30 people into a room with a glass of wine and some people love those things where they can just get into twos and threes and fours and do it. It's not my thing, but having 30 people all trying to have one conversation, I don't like networking for that reason, but also that's not the big reason. The big reason is I find it that people are looking to take before they give rather than give before they take. And they're really not curious. They go, could this person help me right away in my business? Can I make some money by being in contact with them? And if not, they walk away, and metaphorically and literally sometimes. And so I love the fact you leapt in with curiosity.
It's really important. And I think it also helps to take the pressure off when you're interested in somebody else rather than thinking, how can I impact these people with what I have and what I want to do? And I think we also block from ourselves an opportunity to learn or connect with somebody on a different level when we listen and ask good questions and get more out of it than putting into it. What is it that they say? Be more interested than interesting. Yeah. And I think it's interesting because, Tom, I remember when you came to our event, and as you know, one of the things I do is try to curate. I'm not into the 30 people in a room having a conversation because you can't. No. So I do the breakouts, and we do smaller groups, two people, three people, and maybe sometimes slightly more, but generally about that, so that the conversation can start. No networking event can you get so deep that you've got a solid relationship. It is the start of, and then you follow on. But one of the things I remember you saying to me before the event was, when I asked, who would you like to connect with on the list? You're like, I'm just there to observe, enjoy, you know, I don't really care. And it's interesting for me because the people I see coming back with those similar comments are the introverts, are the people that struggle with the group conversation, struggle with putting themselves out. And I'm not saying you're struggling putting yourself out there, but to step out into this new space with people they don't know. And what I like about it is the serendipitous position they put them in. You just don't know who you're talking to. And never judge. If I could give any advice to people, never judge what a person you're speaking with does, who they are, how they look. You never know. You don't know what's going on. You don't know who they know. You don't know what they've done. And I think that's your job, is to be curious and find out more. Because
I totally agree. I've started doing I write every day on my blog, as you know, and I've started occasionally putting ones up that I'm just heading the blog titles with a theme of elite mindset. And one of them was just about curiosity recently. And that is, I think this difference between good to great to elite is one of it, is just being curious. And I remember the person you paired me with, and I've almost apologized at the end. I was peppering them with questions. I was so interested. And when they came back, what was your feedback? And I remember that person just said, that was really interesting. I got asked all these great questions. And I think I'd say I'm an extroverted introvert. I'm definitely on the introvert side of MBTI. But that means but at the same time, I'm really comfortable putting myself out there. I'm super open and I'll share anything with anybody. And I do find that sometimes Zoom compared to in-person is really great for introverts who do want to share. I'd say that personally, because we can choose to connect or not to connect. We can also choose that if we need to fill our introvert tank at the end of a long day of calls, and there's an event at 7 o'clock in the evening, we'll just cry off. And we don't feel as bad about it as if we had to go into the center of Dublin or center of London or something like this. I think to extend the piece about be interested rather than interesting, Another piece I learned was to, as a reminder, is that everybody is interesting if you choose to be interested.
Yeah, love that. I love that.
So I certainly, the event I went on, it was very enjoyable and interesting. So thank you.
No, that's good.
So that's what we're up to. That's what you're up to. And I really love, and you're fantastic at curating and leading those sessions and very passionate about the power of networking and teaching people how to do it. And, so as we come to the end of the year, what's on your mind, either for right now or for what comes in the future?
So right now, and this is something we touched on slightly before, we came online or went live. I'm the person who lives in the now. I don't look too much in the future. I do plan for the future, but if the last 2 years have taught us anything, plan for the future, but have plans B, C, and D. I think for me, the next few weeks over the holidays is to step back into my space, step back into a space of regeneration, spend time with family. It's a very special time for our family, or should I say very conscious time for our family. And I like to be there. I like to be present, rather than, I find with life, we can just be running and trying to keep up or trying to get to what's happening next week, the week after, so on. And then for 2022, I shall sail into the new year, much like I stepped out of the last. It doesn't mark huge milestones for me going from one year to the next, but I guess there is a sense of another chance, another day, which every day is, to be better, to learn more, to do more, to give more. And 2022 has, there's a lot of business growth I have. You know, my business is only a year and a bit old. It was started in COVID because I lost my last business due to COVID.
Right.
So it has a lot to prove and it has a lot to do. Mm-hmm. So the next year will be quite telling as its second year. It's kind of second year of its infancy. And then hopefully getting online, planning the networking summit, which is pretty big. I've already got an American and Australian, you know, internationally renowned speakers on the cards for it. And where it was and where I wanted to be is so much bigger. One of the things I've recognized myself is you can't do it on your own. So what's next for me is looking to find a team that is as passionate as I am in reaching others that would find value in this journey of connecting. We've learned through COVID, for those who were reticent about getting their businesses beyond their locality or national stakes, the posts moved with COVID, and we realized we could do anything with the power of, thank God we're in the internet age, because could you imagine not having this communication?
Yes, it would have been very challenging. Yeah.
It would have been extremely challenging for people, mentally, emotionally, as well as everything else. So I'm looking forward to seeing partnering. I'm not quite sure who they are yet, but I know that there's a team out there of a few that I have in my mind that I would like to bring into this space with me. And while the world will remain big, let's connect the dots, as you said earlier on. Let's get people connected, and I'd look forward to working with those.
So you've moved even in a short period, partly drawn by interest from people, because I think when people from four or five countries out of the dozen or so, which is a lovely number in the session I attended. So you talked about your networking hub being for global SMEs.
Yep.
What's the two questions together? What's the perfect? So obviously curious and giving before taking. That said, in terms of business shape, size, whatever, what's the perfect member? And given they can come from any country. And then what's the perfect person you'd be looking for to be your first colleague in this business?
Ooh, good questions. Oh my God. So our ideal client is Jamie, male or female.
That's quite good.
And they are generally business owners, and that could be they're working for themselves, or they have small to medium, and that's relative, because there's a lot of medium firms out there who aren't necessarily employing all the people that are working for them, but they do have responsibility for a medium-sized business. But they're generally on the SM side, and they are definitely interprofessional development. They are looking to broaden their reach. They might be doing international business, but they also might be challenged in doing international business. You think of, now we work with B2Bs predominantly because we do feel that the B2C comes out of that anyway. There's a lot of transactions can come out of that. But for the most part, the businesses we work with are B2B. Mm-hmm. They're looking to engage with other cultures. We do the service in English. Apologies to all out there, but it is my only language that I facilitate in, as I never was one into languages. I failed my French. Bad. So it's about understanding how we do business in other countries, how others are doing it, and learning from others so that they can excel themselves, but they can also share their experiences. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's also about, you know, for a lot of us, we've come out of a corporate environment or prior to, not everybody, but a lot of us, where we've had that facility of all those departments, the accounts, the marketing, the HR, IT, everything there. But more importantly, the board, the management that would have sat with us or supported us. And that's not when we're growing our businesses. We don't have that. We might have coaches and we might have accountability partners, but oftentimes it's really helpful to have a collective of different experiences and minds sitting at a table. So we do offer a mastermind hub as part of the membership. And that's where we really sit down and work with people on their challenges and the questions they have for them to grow.
So to summarize, conducted English, SM type businesses, B2B, typically the owners, founders.
Yeah.
And actually you touched on something before you said it. I was going to reference the sort of peer groups that are out there. Like Vistage is the biggest one globally, which are different because they're designed to be they've pivoted online, but they're designed to be in person. And it's a full day every month plus a coaching session, and the investment's quite significant for the small run businesses. But actually what is underdone about peer groups is the power of having, the language I might use is, or have used, is a board you can afford.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, it's your turn and you put forward your challenge, opportunity, and you just want to sound it out and you hear from those people, you know, normally chaired by a facilitator who may have their own input, but really it's to draw it out of everybody. That's really powerful. So what you're doing does feel different from some other business networking opportunities I've heard of, because that idea of, and it's an online thing you're doing right now, and you may have in-person gatherings at some point, but it works really well online. The idea of having forming the beginnings, as you noted, you form the beginnings of relationships in these groups and breakouts. And then you go, oh, kind of like these people. Or this person's interesting. Or this person I met last time and wonder who I might meet next time. Because you have events quite regularly. But a mastermind group is to do that online. Once you've begun that formation of trust and relationship, you build it into that group. That feels like, just my instinct is that feels like something that's very different to be doing that online. And quite a powerful potential offering that sort of flows out of joining at the base, the introductory level, whether or not the fees are different. The point is that people get to know each other and they're curious about each other. And they go, ooh, that's a different level, because that's a different level of sharing around your business. And
you're not in a room with people that just show up for that one event. These are members who are regularly attending, and as you said, they've got to know each other. So the trust factor is really important in a mastermind group. The other piece that I bring to it is, and I didn't mention before, but it's part of my checkered career, is I'm a, you know, certified coach. So I trained as a business coach and pivoted into, extended that into career transition. So I've worked with many corporates, and professionals from that kind of the big C marketplace, and small businesses looking to make changes and, develop. So those skills come to the table, pretty much all the time. Plus I, you know, what makes us a little different is I want to help curate those connections. So there's oftentimes I will recognize connections within the group and I will make that introduction and I'll explain why I think there's a synergy, or I'll ask people if they're looking for it to be introduced. But all of my members come to me and say, I'm looking for, who should I connect with? Because they don't have the in-depth knowledge maybe of all the members. Now that might sound very small business minded, but it is the start of what we're building and how the networking hub grows. And I see this as being kind of global and national hubs. The one difference, or one of those USPs, is very much around the facilitator is conduit. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's important. It's, I've seen, a longer established network, decided to build a mentoring program a number of years ago, and they assigned one of their staff 1.5 days a week to do this. And they managed to manually curate and match 80 pairings in a year, which was quite amazing. And that involves a check-in call with a potential mentor, or a check-in call with a potential mentee. It means knowing them, it means understanding all of this. Yeah. And I've been involved with a lot of mentoring programs, and some are done with, you know, machine learning, automation, just or simple database matching where you tick a box. Some are done manually, some are done with a hybrid. I think you, no matter what you do with data and machine learning, I think it's actually doing it in the human way to begin with. You'll learn, okay, which bits can I, how will this work as we develop? So that's another USP you have, which is this curation of relationships is very cool. It's very cool. So conscious, we've just chatted very readily for half an hour, and you and I can talk for hours, I'm sure. I've just got some thoughts bubbling in my mind to kind of wrap up, both taking a break from the podcast for a few weeks, but also something spurred by something you said earlier. And then I'd like to sort of give you the last word, including which you can tell us where to find you online and stuff. You talked about the holiday season and the word regenerative. There's a book on my bookshelf behind me called Regenerative Leadership. And it's interesting to me, I'm just musing for a moment, when we talk about sustainability, so the first and a very important level, critical level, is sustainability of the environment. But when we talk about sustainability of systems, sustainability of businesses, sustainability of people, what occurs to me is that was an iteration on sustainability being simply, not simply, but importantly about the environment. But that means maintaining where you are right now. Okay. Regenerative can mean actually not only doing that, but positively growing forwards. So I just, you know, for me personally, the holiday season, whatever that means to people of different backgrounds, but, you know, generally speaking, whether one celebrates on a Christmas followed by New Year, and I, over many years, after having had a natural disaster 18 years ago, it kind of like just before the holiday season, I was exhausted with a hurricane. And I just went, I don't want to do anything other than just chill. And I've since evolved that to being, I consciously look at things that can, and I've never used the word you use, but it does make so much sense. I look at things that can have me go into the new year in a regenerated way at some level. So I feel like I'm going into it a little bit with more personal growth, with more energy, a little bit further ahead than I was going into it. It's not just recharging the batteries, And an awareness of people around energy is if they're listening to ask themselves, have you ever got sick the day after you stopped for Christmas?
Yeah, hands up in the air.
A huge amount of people do that. They push, and they think all they need to do is rest at Christmas. Yeah. They crash and burn, and then they overdo the celebrations and the duty calls of all. Sometimes it feels like duty, or we must go to this person's because they invited me last year to this. Yeah. Actually, if we just, for me, I go into the holidays with the context of, I'm now going to use your word. My context is going to be regenerative. So what am I going to do that will feel regenerative? Connecting to family, to friends, going for walks, you know, maybe doing some chill out time, some reading, whatever it is, and then just feel ready for whatever come early January. So thank you for the word regenerative. It will have me musing all evening, I think.
It is my pleasure to get you mused.
And with that, the last word goes to my guest. Siobhan, what would you like to leave for our podcast audience?
What I'd like to leave with is to follow on us from what you've just said is spend the next few weeks, regardless of what religion or creed you are, connecting with your family and friends, spending quality time, having quality conversations, or sit in silence, because connecting doesn't have to be just with words. Connecting with ourselves and connecting with others that are dear to us. Life's too short. Spend some time and connect. And then when you're ready in the new year, do get in touch with us. We're at thenetworkinghub.ie, and you can find us on Instagram and Siobhan Fitzpatrick on LinkedIn. So I'd love to connect.
Thank you for those lovely words. And I'm sure some people will look to connect with you whenever they're ready. Have a wonderful and regenerative holiday period. I'm sure we shall reconnect in the new year. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.